Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's February 14th, 2022, 7 o'clock. Can I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Schumacher is absent. Kemp?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
Chacon?
Yes, here.
Crawford?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Yes, here.
Millen?
Here.
And Reifstek?
Here.
For visitors, we have Daniel Chacon. We have Judy Summerlet from Friends. We have Shelley, our library director. Do we have any amendments to the agenda? No presentations? Any presentations? Nope. Okay, can everybody look through the minutes and approve? Make a motion that we adopt the Board of Trustees meeting January 10th, 2022. Adopt those minutes. And the Personnel Committee meeting minutes from January 31st, 2022. And the Finance Committee meeting minutes from January 31st, 2022.
Second. Kemp?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Reifstek?
Yes.
And Schumacher. I'm sorry, Millen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any correspondence?
I actually have three.
Okay.
I had two emails from school parents asking about the mask mandate. Do you want me to read these? Or do you want me to read the response? So I'll paraphrase. One lady said, since the beginning of the pandemic, that was my response. Please consider eliminating the mask policy. I have not been there since. It was something that I enjoyed. It's time it's done. They do not do anything to prevent anything. We need our freedom back. Masks should be an option. The other lady said that she's a local Yorkville resident, loves the library, homeschools her son, has always enjoyed the library as a favorite activity, has great memories. Sadly, it's become an issue that they can no longer do such a simple and joyful activity. Breathing fresh air, or any air for that matter, is a God-given right. I don't partake in covering their mouths and noses anywhere that we go. I could go on and on about how wrong this policy is, but I will pass, as it would be just upsetting. My question is if the mask policy will change, since all Yorkville schools have made it optional. My children ask all of the time to go back. Doing pickups is not the same. I know for a fact that I am not alone in this. I'm connected with many other homeschooled families who feel the same way, as well as grandparents. So I just responded that since the beginning of the pandemic, the library has followed the CDC and Illinois Department of Public Health recommendations closely. At this time, we're still requiring masks for children, or for anyone over the age of 2. But I was expecting the governor to make a response sometime this morning when I did this and talked about lifting the mask policy. And they said, once we learn those announcements, we will act promptly and accordingly. That's all I said back to both of them. So just to let you know that that's out there. And then we got a note from Steph McHugh, the Yorkville School District Book Ambassador. Mm-hmm. So she says, I'm so excited to collaborate with you this year. A connection between our schools and the public library is sure to lead to ultimate teamwork and so many incredible possibilities to explore. We can't wait for our fabulous celebration together. Let the book fun begin. And then she also gave us books. She says these books were created by incredible authors and illustrators that we did virtual visits with last year. And when I saw that you didn't have these for the Yorkville Public Library collection, I felt like a must to get copies to you. Happy reading. So Jeanette sent her back a thank you. And
excellent.
But I just thought that was really nice of her. And it's we're looking forward to a good opportunity to work with them. So.
She's amazing. She has, like, her whole life is books. They have, in their house, just from, like, remote stuff, you can. She has got, like, a library, and it's all organized, like, in rainbow order. It's really, like, the colors, really cute. And, like, her and her husband went on a trip this summer, and they stopped at a brewery and a bookstore in every little town that they went. They went east. So she's, a librarian.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, through and through. It'll be good.
Yeah, she's amazing.
A good partnership, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
we've been looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any public comment? Can we have the Friends of the Library report?
Well, we had a full house this morning again. We're very happy that we have so many people that are interested in the Friends group. We did approve $1,500 today, $1,000 for the adult programs, and another $250 for the library crawl, the raffle basket, and another $250 for Staff Appreciation Day, when we will provide box lunches for the staff. So please come to adult programs when you can. Some of them are remote. And there's a great one that Shelley's going to tell you about, I'm sure, coming up in March. So there's just lots of opportunities that you could take advantage of.
Thank you. Can we have the report of the treasurer?
Okay. So, page 15, it's Shelley's credit card. There's a charge for mobile citizen 15 hotspots and a data plan for 1 year. That will be reimbursed with grant funds. And then on page 17, Overdrive is our 2022 ebook subscription service. Prairie Cat is the quarterly fee. RJ O'Neill has two charges, a 6-month preventative maintenance on the HVAC unit, and then they came out to repair the exhaust fan and the public restrooms. And then on 18, Bike City Coop Elevator and TK Elevator Corporation, $514 is an annual elevator safety test. And then the 597 is quarterly maintenance. And then if you look at our budget report, you can see that we're at 75% of the year. Utilities, which is only gas, we're already at 115%. Mm-hmm. Nothing we can do about it. And I know we're all feeling it in our homes as well, but that's painful. and the computer Equipment and software is at $325, but a lot of that will get reimbursed. And again, we're doing quite well with the development fees under the capital expenditures, the computer equipment and software. I think some of that's going to also be reimbursed. Mm-hmm. So with the grant that Shelly got. So overall, not doing too terribly. No.
And I'll make a motion that we pay our bills of accounts payable of $29,464.56. And for payroll, there was two payrolls. So for a total payroll of $37,865.72 for a total disbursement of $67,330.28.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reichstech?
Yes.
And Schimpf?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can we have the report of the library director, please?
Sure. So we had Clarence Goodman speak via Zoom for an NLK program that was sponsored by the Friends of the Library. We had him last year for an NLK program as well, and we've actually booked him next year on NLK Day. We didn't have him this year on the day. We just couldn't get the timing, his schedule, but we broke his record being the furthest out anyone has ever booked a program, so thought that was kind of funny. Let's see. We are in the throes of our winter reading program. And our program this year is Read to Feed. So we are challenging our community to read 50,000 minutes. And I believe Judy checked it last night, and we are at 99% complete. And our goal was, if we read that the Friends of the Library would donate $100 to the Kendall County Food Pantry, something we did last year as well. This is just a really, I think, a good opportunity to give back to the community. We also have a donation jar at the front desk that we've been collecting money for them as well. Let's see, we are celebrating National Engineers Week, February 20th through the 26th, and Ms. Jeanette has come up with lots of programs each day for the kids. I've listed them here in the director's report. So every day she has a different activity for the kids to do, and then she'll also follow up with more STEM programs during spring break in March with the 4-H group as well. I've included this little flyer for you guys to look at. This is the library crawl that we are partnering with several other libraries. You can see the list of them in here. So for the month of April is National Library Week. The 9th, I believe it starts. No, excuse me, the 3rd. It runs that week. We are partnering with these libraries and trying to get other communities to come to our library and our patrons to go to their library just to see what's available in that. But what you're going to do is, when you visit a library, you're going to get stamped. And then once you've completed this, you can turn it in. And each of these libraries is creating a gift basket, raffle basket, that reflects their community. So in our basket, I'm hoping to get something maybe from Raging Waves. We have Skittles that we're going to put in the basket. I know Tiffany from the Friends of the Library has reached out to a lot of chamber businesses and trying to collect items for that too. So just so we can showcase Yorkville's community. And so yeah, this is the first year this is being done. There's going to be a video that compiles all of the libraries. We've already had them come and shoot several pictures of the library and videos of the library. So they're going to compile that with all of them. And once I get that, I'll share that link with you. With you guys. And there will be a social media page as well that we can all share what we have going on. So when we postponed mini golf, we postponed it to the first day of National Library Week. So I'm hoping that by advertising it with all of these libraries in the community that we might get a good turnout. Well, let's see here, what else do I have? RJ O'Neill was here, obviously, to do their preventive maintenance, as Susan had said, and they repaired an exhaust fan that was not working. We have some outside lights in the building that usually go on in the evening and then turn off. In the daytime, they have not turned off since Tuesday, January 25th. I had Ted, our maintenance guy, looking into it, and he has been in talks with someone at the city to try to figure out why they are not turning off. So I'll have to follow up again with that because they're still on and not really sure if there's a sensor associated with that or not, so to be continued. Ted has been great for us at the library. The day of this big snow, he worked really hard. He was constantly here plowing, trying to keep up with it, between plowing and shoveling and that. So staff's really, really thankful for him. And he'll come most days and put the parking lot barricade up for us as well, which is really nice. We have hired a new part-time staff person, so we are full staffed again. And she's splitting her time between circulation and adult services. And what else? Jim from Yorkville Police Department reached out to get our staff boosted, anyone that needed a booster. So that was really very nice. They did, the Kendall County Health Department did that for all city employees. So we were able to get 98% of our staff is all vaxxed and boosted. So that's, we're thankful for that as well. So I had a lengthy conversation with one of our regular patrons about inappropriate wording that he had on his mask, and asked him to not wear that. I've had a lot of problems with this gentleman, and since then he has at least not worn the mask back in here again, but it required a conversation with our attorney and the police department just to see what could be done about it. So because of that, I have updated our patron use and behavior policy to include a little bit of verbiage about acceptable use and not use of language, and maybe printing on clothing. So that will be in new business that we'll talk about as well. But it's been drafted by our attorney, just so you know. And in light of the governor's announcement, I'm keeping an eye on February 28th. When I'm anticipating that he'll lift the mask mandate, and we'll have to change the sign on our front door from mask required to maybe something along the lines of masks encouraged, maybe? I don't know. But really, our staff doesn't have any more energy for this particular fight. We've really, really been hard on staff. They're doing. I've asked them not to engage in arguments, to ask the patrons that come in without a mask to please wear a mask, or we provide them with a mask, and I said that if they want to argue with you, then let's just step back from that. I don't want anything to happen like has happened to other libraries in the area. Considering that I'm pretty sure that we're going to be going with the lifting of the mask mandate, it's not worth the argument or the threats that staff might get. So.
Marlon's got a race.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, so, before that, where was that? So at the first January City Council meeting, the City Council approved a $85 flat rate for Marlis's service. She'd been paid the same wage since 2007. So. Oh. Very well deserved.
Yeah,
thank
very well.
Yes.
Very
well. Thank you.
And so also in the packet, I've just included the kids, teens, and adult upcoming programs that you guys can look at your convenience as well. Okay, so that's it.
Thank you. No city liaison. Standing committees. So, let's see, we had a finance committee meeting. Do you want to just give the highlights?
We discussed the budget for the next year, the cost of the living adjustment, and wage compression with the new minimum wage. Mm-hmm. So we will discuss all that under new business.
Mm-hmm.
And we also discussed getting rid of the
fines,
because it's not that much.
All right, and personnel met.
Yes.
And do you want to give a little?
We met to discuss our director's performance evaluation, and we'll discuss that later on in the meeting.
And let's see. I guess we'll go on to new business then.
On page 39 is a draft that our attorney has basically wordsmithed for me. I sent him something and he didn't like some of the verbiage and he changed it, and so this is has his stamp of approval on it. So it's a replacement to the one that we have with additions of a few items as well. Particularly number 4 that is added, dressing inappropriately or wearing clothing that offends, disrupts, disturbs, or is gang-related, including but not limited to clothing containing obscene language or images, curse words, or images, and depictions of a sexual explicit nature. So that was an addition based on the interaction I had with a patron. I don't know if any of you have any questions on any of these.
Was that the only one that was changed?
No, there was where's my notes? Number 6 was added. We added a number 9, a sleeping, lying, or lounging on the floor. Leaving personal belongings unattended, number 11. We've been having a problem with that as well. The high school kids will drop their backpacks and leave the library and then eventually come back and pick them up. So we've been having a little problem with that. So we added that. Number 16, we've not had a problem with this, but we felt we needed to add this line item in here about bringing pets into the library. And that also will piggyback off of the next policy that we're going to look at as well, the ADA compliance policy, which is something we didn't have before. Consuming food or beverages, we have people that do bring food into the library. Now, some people are here all day long. We used to not allow food in the library, but I feel if people are here all day working and that, they need to be able to eat some food. So we've designated a spot in the front of the library where there's a tile floor where they can eat there, and if in case there's messes in that, then it's easy to clean up. Possession of weapons was not on our list either. And 22 was added as well.
And then the verb possession of weapons.
Pardon?
19 is missing of, possession of weapons.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
And everything else is what we've already had. All the others were just on. Mm-hmm.
Should number 22 just be more generic instead of, I mean, disregarding or failing to follow the current or most recent guidance of IDPH and CDC? Or do you just want to leave it?
Stop it there.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. Drop the regarding. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the attorney, he helped.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm just going through the ones that you said.
Okay.
And these are some of the ones that other libraries have as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any questions about these? Anybody want to bring anything up? Anything else? Okay. Then I'll make a motion that we approve the revised patron use and behavior policy.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstech?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
And Walter?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, next is approve ADA compliance policy.
Yep. So part of the per capita grant and the checklist that we reviewed was to make sure that we had an ADA policy in our book, and we did not. So this policy comes from the attorney. So he drafted this and sent this to us. And service animals is kind of funny, because I believe it talks about a miniature horse as an approved service animal.
Really?
Yes. Yes. The second paragraph there. Just kind of funny. Thought I would point that out.
So trainers are also permitted to accompany service animals in the training in the library?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have had that before.
Okay.
You know,
I mean, it's because they're getting used to
animals the need yes. to be yes. yeah, they need to be yes. either restrained and mm-hmm. the handler has to have control of the animal and they have to be mm-hmm.
yes.
house trained.
During one of the first mini golfs we had a patron come in with a not service dog, but a heavy type dog. He then peed and pooped on the floor.
It's not emotional support, it's only...
No, these are service animals.
So they have to help the individual.
But we can't ask...
No.
We can't ask...
Whether it is or not. Usually it has one. Doesn't it usually have one like a...
It's not required either.
Well, it's not required.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It says may wear, not required.
Okay.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Garstek?
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
And Chacon?
Yes.
Okay. Next, discussion on becoming a fine free library.
Okay, so this is something that has been going on libraries for couple years now, and I'd kind of like to propose that we do this as well. Becoming a fine free library does not mean that we don't charge for things. It means we don't charge for late fees. Now, if someone damages a book, loses a book, they are still responsible for that, but if they don't bring their material back on their due date, but they do eventually bring it back, then those fees are waived. I just think that this is a good gesture for the library, especially in keeping our mission statement and our value statement in mind. We do provide access to support and resources for our community, and we should also be providing access that's equitable for all as well. So this really applies to the underserved in our community, the ones that really need our resources, that are punished because they don't bring their material back and then they can't afford the fines. So some of the benefits are just removing the barriers for people that could stand to utilize our services the most. Again, providing the equitable access to our community. Another thing is that this removes the uncomfortable conversations that staff has to have with our patrons. And, just not... not shaming our patrons, and just helping to provide better service for them as well. And as I said, it aligns with our missions and value statement. As far as it affecting our budget, Our overdue fines, our fines are a very small percentage of our budget. Actually, we budgeted $8,500, but we've only collected so far this year $4,769, and of that, $1,200 is replacement. The rest is fines. So we still have some money coming in for replacement and lost items. But that $8,500 works out to 0.5% of our budget. So on this second page from the proposal, I started to list some of the area libraries that have gone fine-free. And then I kind of just stopped because it was a lot. So most of the libraries around us are fine-free, with the exception of Newark and Hinckley. They're smaller libraries in Sugar Grove. Those are ones for sure that I know are still charging for fines. And I've had our circulation manager, I've been in contact with her, talking to her about this, and she has come talk to, because she has to administer these fines and talk to these patrons and that, and she said she knows for a fact that there was a family that stopped using the library for over 4 years because they couldn't pay a $20 fine for books that they turned in late. And then sometimes she says there are fines, a $30 fine for a family household, and it might be just one member of the family that has that fine, but it blocks the entire family from being able to use their card. And then she says sometimes that the fines might be too high for a patron, and they might just, they can't pay the fine, so they're just going to keep the material and not return it. So we hope that by removing these fines that we might see an increase in some of our materials being returned to us as well. Not sure that that's the case, but I cited a few resources from some articles that I had read about going fine-free.
That's a good idea.
Do you still send out reminders if you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll still get reminders after, I believe, 7 days when the material is due. Their account will still be blocked. They won't be able to do certain things until that material is returned back, and then the fines are just waived. Questions, thoughts?
How much are the fines right now?
Right now, this year, we've collected $4,769.
Like how much?
It's like a dime a day, isn't it?
20 cents. 20 cents per item per day.
Okay. Got a next on it.
I'm proposing that if we do this, that we do it at the start of our fiscal year, and then we can market it, saying that we're going to be going fine-free.
But what do we have to give up because we're taking away some revenue?
Very small amount.
Still money. I mean, yeah. It's $5,000 so far.
Well, we still would be charging for replacements. So
that was $1,200. So
right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm being honest. Like,
okay, so
we complain about a $500 bill to fix mechanically.
I canceled a database subscription that we no longer use.
We have to trade off.
How much was that?
$3,200.
Did anybody ask about it?
Oh. Can we try it and see?
We can always go back.
Yeah, that's what I say.
We answered true.
I don't think you should go back.
No, we shouldn't. No, we need to do it or we don't.
Right.
But I'm looking at all the number of our libraries that are close by. And if it's not allowing some of our patrons to continue. I mean, I feel bad that a family, $30, and then the entire family, for one person in the household, and the entire family is not allowed to use the library. I mean, for one person in the family, I think that's kind of hard, too. Because what if it was one sibling, and then the other siblings may need to use the library for school or something like that, and then they can't.
So another question is, so if a person checks out a book and they don't bring it back, some, you know, on the due date, and somebody's waiting for it, has, you know, they put their name reserving it, the other person's like, oh, I'll just bring one in when I'm done.
That is a possibility.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a...
That's true. I think about
that. Icon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or 10 cents a day. That's a lot of days.
20.
Well, at some point, it just stops and they get billed for it. It doesn't continue to...
I guess, I mean, that's, you know, my concern is that it's so little and yet... it's adding up. That means people are just not bringing their books back. I mean,
sometimes, like you said, it's the
same. They will get a bill. They will get a bill after 21 days of it being passed due for the book.
Mm-hmm. For the total amount of what we pay for the book.
Yeah.
But if you find the book and return it, it's waived.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'll be the bad guy. I was raised that this is one of the earliest things my grandmother taught me, is that it's your responsibility. You check out the book, you bring the book back, or else you're going to pay the fine. You know, and that was like early childhood responsibility. And I mean, that's where I'm going with this.
But is it a big deterrent though for people to pay 40 cents to get their book back on time? Like, For people
that speeding afford it, it doesn't matter.
I just kind of wonder if the other libraries are having that waive that, if they're having bigger issues with books just not coming back.
Yeah, I can't speak for them. Yeah, I don't know.
And then that means that when the books don't get returned, then we have to go back and buy another copy of that book. Is what we usually do. Right.
If it's a newer book, in demand book, okay. I'm sure we would replace it.
If it's new in demand, so if it's not new in demand, then we just...
Mm-hmm. What's the average cost to replace a book?
So like a new bestseller, hardcover, adult book is $17, our cost. We would charge... a patron probably $25 because we add dollars on for processing.
What do you think?
I know.
I think I would like to see it. I think it's a goodwill gesture to the community. As Wameka would say, it's a forward-thinking idea.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, like, when I walked on the board, like, Dixie was probably like, oh, my God, her. Because when my kids were little, we were the ones, my daughter would have 30 books at a time. And we'd get home, I mean, here, in this little area, we'd get home, and I'd read half of them, and the pile would just kind of go whoop, and sometimes we could find them, and sometimes we couldn't. And we would always pay fines. I think you used to make phone calls for the fines. I even had a fine like 2 months ago, and I was mortified. I don't even remember what it was for, but I paid it right away. I was like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing. But we could pay. I mean, it was probably like $4. Sometimes we could afford it, but it's humiliating, and it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, it was our fault. I know that, but I mean...
But what if they were... I mean... In certain circumstances, we waive fines. Like, they were in an accident, they've been in the hospital, they lost a relative, we've had, you know...
Vacation. Quarantine for 2 weeks.
Right.
But could that just be a simple, like, form you fill out with your explanation?
Well, they just it's just verbal.
Yeah.
Then it's done. But
I know it feels good. It's a nice thing to do. You know, it's $5,000, but then we do, I don't know, flinch at five. If we said, hey, we need $5,000 to fix our boiler, everyone's going to look at me for some reason. But, I mean, that's just how it is. So it's just, I think it's great. I mean, it's nice to announce that. But you're right. So whoever said it, you can't really go back once you do it. So that's, yeah.
It's also a 0.5%
on our budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we don't have a lot of surplus either, so it's... You know.
So can we vote to adopt this or not?
Somebody makes a motion.
But we, as a board, we still have to vote. Everybody has their right to mm-hmm. vote on how they feel they want to vote.
Mm-hmm. My concern would be, so if you do this and people don't bring the books back, then it's costing us more money because then we're replacing books if they're newer books.
If they never bring the book back, which and they're still using the library.
Their card
after 30 days.
21 days.
21 days. Their card would be locked. They won't be able to check out a book until they paid for the replacement of the book that's overdue.
Okay. Or turn the book back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but their card's blocked, so they can't check out anything else. They can't use the computer.
No. But in the meantime, if they're overdue by 2 days. 3 days, 4 days, a week, then that way that fine is it accrues, but it's waived at that when they do bring the material back.
What's our annual losses for books not being returned, roughly?
That I would have to look up. I don't know off the top of my head.
The books that we have to replace for interlibrary loan, is how would that be affected by this?
Mm-hmm. That's a good
somebody
question.
Gets a book from Drew Roof.
That's right.
And doesn't return it to us. Drew Roof charges a fee.
Right.
A fine.
Right.
We don't. So, and if, after so many days, whatever.
It's right. It's this rule stays with our library.
Okay.
It doesn't if. They check out someone else's book, they have to follow their rules, mm-hmm. not ours.
So if we did
they
an interlibrary,
would be on the hook for that book.
So if we did an interlibrary loan for a patron, and the book comes from another library, but they pick it up here, mm-hmm. and they do not return that book here, the rule applies to whatever that library is,
yes.
or our rules here?
No, that library.
So
their material.
Okay, so then if they never bring back whatever the library that they...
Because I know there's been bills in our bill list
right.
that we pay
mm-hmm. to the other libraries.
Yep. But we charge
those
patrons.
So here's the other question. Somebody brings it back, but you have to follow the other library's rules. Now we're charging a fee, a fine, plus whatever the fine is. For the other library, and we have to collect it for the other library, right? And then somebody says, wait a minute, there's no fines here in Yorkville. Sorry, you borrowed it from Sugar Grove.
Through us?
You owe.
If they borrowed it from Sugar Grove directly.
No.
Through us.
Through an interlibrary loan. Mm-hmm. We picked it up here.
Right. We collect the fees, and then we have to give the fee to Sugar Grove.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, but now we're collecting fees. We're a fee. If
Ladies
we become a fee
library.
Right.
But how would that, then they would probably look at us saying that we're fine free libraries, what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
But yet we still have to make that charge because that's what mm-hmm. that library is charging.
It would have to be, you would have to put that in your policy.
You have to discuss it.
If they don't return the other library's book, are we putting a hold on their account? Do we put a hold on that patron's account if they don't return that book?
My wife's done it many times where she's had a book from another library, even I think even a downstate library,
mm-hmm.
because we didn't have the book and nobody in the local area had the book. Mm-hmm. So it was shipped up from Springfield or Bloomington or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then she returned it here and it went back to them. Mm-hmm.
Right, but he's saying about the charge that if...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I think we... How does that work? That's, you have to...
There's got to be a smooth way that yeah, it has to be people work that, these people work that out. What yeah. do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm for it.
If they borrow a book from another library here, they pick it up here, they don't return it, they're going to be charged for that book.
Do we put a hold on their account?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Regardless of where the material comes from.
Makes sense.
If it's our material or someone else's material, it gets a hold.
Do we charge them for the cost of the book to replace it if they don't bring it back?
Yes, okay. They get a bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everything was done through our library, mm-hmm. So it makes sense.
Prairie Cat sends out all of those sealed notices. Reminders, overdues,
that's why we pay them the big bucks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the proposal for becoming a fine free library.
Second.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reichstag?
No.
Shimp?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
And Crawford?
No. Okay. Next would be reviewing the proposed 2023 budget. This is the fun part.
why is it fun?
No. I'm being facetious.
Okay. So in your packet at the back.
Which page?
49?
Option.
Hard to see, but...
Wait, I don't have one.
It's at the back of the main one.
Oh. Okay, what page?
49.
Okay.
So in gray is what we're in right now. The left side of the gray is what our budget is, and the right side is, you know, if you project it out, trending how we are now, that's where we're at. So we're projected to be under budget by almost 50,000. Pardon?
He said
it's a good job. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Under budget's good.
So for the big issue that we were kind of hung up on is the part-time salaries, because we have several five people, I think, that are basically haven't gotten a raise in years, and they're making pennies more than minimum wage at this point.
Yeah.
So, which is a little disheartening. What is the administrative chargeback?
All right, well, if you want to just take the budget and we can start. I sent out a really long email.
Yes.
I apologize.
I read it.
But if we just go through the budget
and the orange items that Rob has highlighted. So the first one is he's increased the library's ops property tax for FY24 based on CPI, Consumer Price Index, which has an inflation of 7%, but we're capped at a 5% PTEL. Mm-hmm. So that's what those figures reflect there. If you come down to the next orange highlight, administrative chargebacks, Susan, this is TED. We're paying for TED's time here at the library.
Okay. Okay.
So that is equated to 9.6%, 200 hours.
Okay.
For his salary and benefits. So, and I'm good with that because that's what he's doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now the next few orange highlights are telecommunications, utilities, automation, and computer equipment and software. Those were increased slightly based on projected expenses for next year that we talked about at the Finance Committee meeting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're very small increases based on information that I received from our vendors. And the utilities one, I wasn't sure how we project that out. And Rob had said that he was taking the average so far for FY22, and he said we were tracking around $22,000 for the year. So he's increased the line item by 6% going forward, as he said he does for the city utility line, and he thinks that that should cover it.
Yeah, I think that's
fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the capital fund item on page 51 is increased to cover the purchase of a new server next year.
Which one was that?
This one.
The computer equipment software.
On page 51.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the server.
So that covers what we talked about at the Finance Committee meeting. Those increases. So then the next thing I can walk through is the discussion on the payroll. So that's this extra packet that I gave you guys. That's not in the packet. So
can we walk before we move on to that? Do we want to approve the budget?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
23.
There are any questions, first of all?
Yeah, there are any questions.
Well, this is going to be included in the budget.
Right, so we can't approve the budget until we talk about the raises for the COLA.
Okay.
Right?
That's agreed.
Well, a lot of the COLA increases are going to happen this year and next year. I'm thinking those people, apparently it was a misunderstanding that the people that didn't get a pay raise because of the cost of the minimum wage should get a raise this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that doesn't reflect on 23 fiscal year 23 budget because it's already built in to that.
This one here is only.
This one here is part of what we're talking about here would be for fiscal year 22. Given those people that deserve a raise because of miscommunication somewhere.
So this has nothing to do with our 24.
I don't think it does.
This is showing different rates. So he is broken. So there's four pages here.
Mm-hmm.
You have option 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yes.
In the budget, Rob is putting in option 3.
Option
3 is, let me find it so I can explain this. Option 3 is a minimum wage plus a 3% for all, starting at the fiscal year. And
for all that are in green, or for all?
For all. All.
So even if they got a 3%, they're still getting the...
Even though they started at $12 in January, mm-hmm. he has given them a 3% raise in May at the beginning of the fiscal year.
Okay.
And then the ones in green would get a 6% raise. And that figure, that $179,000, $848, is in the budget here.
Okay.
That's the figure.
Okay, so this is, thank you, that's for the 24.
So you have three different options that you can do. You can look at the first page is option one, is just, it is a minimum wage plus a 3% COLA for everyone across the board. The second page, option two, is minimum wage only for people making minimum wage, but everyone else would be a 3% COLA raise. Then option three, which is the one that he included in the budget, is minimum wage plus a 3% increase at the beginning of the fiscal year for everyone, with the exception of the five highlighted that would get a 6% raise to increase them up, kind of the wage compression.
Those are the ones that didn't get a raise.
They did not.
Before.
Correct.
Okay,
and
so
then the last page, option four, is doing a 3% raise for everyone with the exception of those five people and just bumping them up to $15. So he had said that, let me find his wording here. The budget impact is immaterial, totaling $179,848. When giving all eligible employees a minimum wage increase on the 1st, a 3% increase on May 1st, and a 6% increase for those selected employees identified below. And if we did the last option, that would bump, that bumps the employees up to $15. That increases the payroll $3,000 to $5,000.
And what does the other one increase? The option three increases payroll to.
So, if you look at option three and compare it to option four, it's almost a $6,000 increase.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the one that we're going with, option three.
So you said the ones in green, 6%. That's because last year they did not get, because I'm on option three. Because
yep.
Last year they did not get a COLA.
Correct.
And then starting in the, so that if we adopted this, they would get a 3% raise now, and then a 6%, and then a 3%, another 3% at the beginning of the fiscal year. Is that, or is it a straight 6?
That is a 6.
So they would get
at the beginning of the fiscal year.
At the beginning of the fiscal year.
Okay, so May 1st.
May 1st.
They would get a 6% raise.
Those five people.
Right. And everybody else would get a 3%.
Those five people have been working at the library more than 5 years and are just making right now minimum wage.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about, is how do we compensate that? But some of these people have been here 15 years and are making minimum wage. So that's what we were singling out, these specific five
minimum
employees.
Wage caught up to them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then do you have new employees coming in and making
more? Yeah.
New employees start at minimum wage.
Yeah. So option three was the best option that we talked about. But we make it.
So on this budget report, part-time salaries for FY 2023 proposed is $180,000, and that's option three.
I'd like to do option four, frankly, and pay them 15. I mean, we've got somebody who's been here 15 years. It's on the supper packet.
Yes, that's what we have. Option number four, you said?
Yeah, and pay them just the $15, because
everybody else, maybe first gives 3%, and five gives them to 15.
They would still be,
that would be option four.
Which means they would still be.
Correct?
Yeah, that's option four.
Yeah. So everybody that isn't highlighted in green
gets a
3% off on May 1st. Everybody that is highlighted in green goes to $15 an hour on May 1st. So those five people.
So that's a difference of about
$5,000.
Yeah.
$5,000.
$5,000. I mean, they've been.
We consistently come in under budget. Like, we do very well managing our money.
Yes.
And I think that it is shameful that
I agree.
We do not pay. We loyal employees that are barely making above minimum wage. I think it's shameful. And I would like to bump them. I mean, my daughter works at a gas station and she makes more than that. And she's been there for 6 months or something. Like, I just feel like that.
And all these other people are going to get another dollar an hour raise at the beginning of next year.
And they're still going to be at the bottom.
That helps with the wage compression issue.
Yeah.
So, that's my suggestion.
I agree, too.
Well, somebody needs to make a motion. I'll make the motion that we... How do we do this?
That's what I was going to ask. You have
to include which option you want to make a motion.
We'll have to do Rob Fredrickson's option four, which gives all our part-time staff a 3% increase. At the beginning of the fiscal year, and five identified people are going to be bumped to $15 an hour at the beginning of the fiscal year.
Second.
Aaron, second. Okay.
Garcia? Yes.
Millen?
Ask. If you have questions, ask.
So from the four options, if you look at the bottom left corner, is that per year the difference that we're incurring?
On the left?
As a result of the percentage? Well, the total dollars, though. The
each year.
Left.
It's going up.
Each
year.
Page is...
Right, I understand each page is different. But on the bottom left, it shows incrementally each year the increase, correct?
Yes.
Right, because as the minimum wage goes up, but if we start off these five people higher, that percentage that is going to increase, because they'll just be getting, it's higher at the beginning, but then in the years after that, it's going to be, the percentage is going to be smaller. The percentage of increase is going to be smaller.
So at the bottom, this is the minimum wage increase in the corner left?
Yes.
It's the minimum wage increase.
Minimum wage goes till 27.
Or?
5.
25, 26, 27. So he's given us.
$15.
Of course, they may change that by that time, too.
Yeah.
It may go on more.
Yeah. But right now, it is what it is.
Did we answer the question?
If you have more questions. time?
Yes, before we.
I just know that, like, you had talked about maybe doing another referendum to increase.
What?
You know, like, we've talked about, you know, going back to our community, asking for more dollars for the library. Mm-hmm. Just how does all of that play into that? And is any of that figured into any of these projections for the next...
If we were to go to the community to ask for more, then that has to go to a referendum.
Right.
Right. And so I thought that believe that had been tabled at one point.
Yeah, it's been.
Mm-hmm. No, it was never voted on. Just
right.
Try it.
Right.
So it was never a proposal. It was just a discussion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that budget that we're talking about doesn't include any kind of additional taxes or anything.
No.
It's just, you know, as the cost of your home.
Yeah. Other than increases in EAV for Yorkville.
Thank you.
But then it doesn't also include any estimates for any additional, like if the refrigeration or the air conditioning, if any of that has to be replaced, none of that.
Correct.
This is just our straight budget with no ups, no extras.
And it does not take into account those housing starts. That are taking place right now, and what those tax dollars would be in the next few years.
You can look at how Roth has this projected out and see how that affects the budget.
Five years,
and what that looks like for each of those years.
In 2025, the taxpayers get a reduction because our building will be paid for, and there won't be any more bond assessment. That's why that one line gets blanked out. So realistically, that would probably be a time to come back and say, you're not paying for the bonds. Mm-hmm. Can we keep a portion of that for library operation?
Mm-hmm. But our wages aren't tied to like performance appraisals or anything?
No.
And that is something that we had talked about a year ago, 2 years ago. Was tying that.
So it's a little hard to do a performance
on a
evaluation on people.
Someone that works 6 hours a week.
Yeah.
Full time?
They're not really producing anything other than community goodwill.
They're still performing.
I think I could, but.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they produce by reshelving books and processing books and things like that, but mm-hmm. it's a little difficult to come up with some. It's easier to do a performance evaluation on our director.
My mother-in-law works as wrapping sandwiches, you know, in a high school for their lunches. She works really hard. She's happy to get a nickel. Grades, and you know, and I feel bad for her, but she's really proud of that. So, to me, like, if people feel that they earned it, they appreciate it more. But I mean, 15 from 1267, I get they've been here a long time, but to not even, you know, have a discussion, I mean, that's great for them. I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but it just to me, that's demotivating if everybody gets the same thing. That's just my two cents.
And I think that we're here if we would have had the minimum wage.
A lot of this just is because of
the minimum wage increase.
Minimum wage law.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's how it is in education.
This is true.
You know.
I'm a teacher and I work really, really hard and I make the same as somebody who doesn't.
Based solely on our experience.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, our people work hard at what they do. Keeping the library clean, keeping it organized, meeting with the people.
But do they know that? Are they told they work hard?
She wouldn't have. I don't think she.
I'm sure that you do, but I'm just saying. Like, I sit down and hey, you do this, but you could do this. I don't know.
I don't know what more we could ask of the front desk.
They get a yearly evaluation. It never is tied to any merit increase. Never has been. I mean.
But why couldn't it be? I guess is the question.
It could be, but so a COLA, a cost of living increase, is off the table.
That's not what this is, though. This isn't. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking $12 to $15 because you've been here.
Based on the wage compression that they've been working at, they didn't get to see, a lot of these people were started at $10. So they've got $2
raise. Some of them started at $8.25.
Yeah. So we've been building them up and we've skipped over those people without giving them a raise because they were already above where the minimum wage was. See what I'm saying?
So the answer to my question is no.
Right.
Well, I have a question. What's the difference? What causes the difference in the rate of pay then? Because you've got Summit, $24.
Those are the full-time people.
That's full-time.
No. This is part-time.
Oh, this is part-time?
Only part-time people.
So some of these,
they're janitor.
Oh.
Custodians. Okay.
Custodians, the 20-24.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I understand the people who are not even at minimum wage, and then they're at minimum wage, and then the 3%. I guess I get all that, but I don't. So, like, the janitors and things like that, they don't get reviews, or it's not.
They don't work for us.
So,
I don't think that we would be here if it wasn't for the law that took into play. That's why we're here, because of that law.
And we want to keep our good people.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand.
Most of the libraries are paying their part-timers more than we are.
We lost some.
Do you want to
time?
Do you want to vote
some part-timers to our libraries?
We'll go back to the vote.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Reichstack?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
And Forrestal?
Yes.
Did you call me?
You were first.
Oh.
Yes.
Because we went through a discussion.
Yeah,
we need to approve the budget.
Oh, wait, hold on. Yes. Before you do that, because there's going to be reduction in the budget.
Okay.
So, under salaries and wages, so this is the last page of your packet.
51.
Well, not the packet, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Option based.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a while back, I had Rob add another full-time position in there, a community engagement marketing coordinator. Mm-hmm. So in the budget proposal, has a full-time person in here. So that's just how that would reflect. So I know some of you are not ready for that, but I just wanted you to see that. So this person would be, I had put them at making $22 an hour. That equates to $45,000 a year. But the all-in cost for a full-time person with benefits and IMRF is around $81,000. So you can see that figure is included in this. So if you don't like that, aren't ready for that, that's going to reduce this budget number by that amount.
Shelley, was that position required? I thought I read somewhere that was in the plan.
It's not a requirement.
You need it.
It's preferred. Now, I will say that based on our population, they gave us an estimate as to how many full-time staff you should have, and ours fell into the 6 or 7 range, and right now we have 5.
Okay. For full time?
Yes. So like I said, I just wanted you to see, so don't approve this budget until you decide if we want to take that out. Another option we can do is we are capped at how many hours a part-time person can work, because then we would have to provide, if they work over, it works out to about 20 hours a week or 1,000 hours per calendar year, then we have to contribute to IMRF for them. So that's another option of something we can do, is hire a part-time person to work 30 hours a week, and then pay into their IMRF. And
for the community position?
Correct. We could do something like that.
To start.
I think that's a start.
Part-time would be beneficial to our budget. So are we going to decide, make that decision tonight? To have it included in the budget that we're going to show?
I guess I just don't understand. I know we've talked about it. I don't understand what this person would do.
Community.
I mean, I understand what that is. But
it's all social media. It's updating website. It's putting together all of our marketing materials. When we promote a program, there's at least 17 different places that we post that program to. That takes that burden off of our two department head people to generate and create the flyers and all of the pictures that you see on social media and on our websites and that. This person can also be going out into the community as well. And
but what does that mean, go out into the
connections.
Community?
Attending PTO events, when you set up booths, things like that. Our pop-up library, they could be there. They can attend
Chamber of
Commerce, just making those connections, bringing the library out into the community.
Out to the senior services places?
Correct,
yeah.
Yep.
I think it would be better to start it as a part-time position. And then if we see the genuine benefit from this, then we can bump it up.
But, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, if you take a group of 100 people, and what percentage can actually go out to these type of events and engage and represent at a part-time level? That's all I'm saying. Like, this is a big position. Do we need that? Are we going to hire a part-time person? Can they do that?
We don't even have anyone in that position right now to actually make those connections. It's the managers that's doing all the social media, and Shelly probably too before in the past. Yeah, and
got a description for this person?
I do.
I think it would help the managers be able to focus more on their area of expertise. And part-time means that you would have to have some type of marketing plan in place for when this person comes in.
Person creates the marketing plan.
Or they can create the marketing plan.
But we think we're going to find someone, a part-time person that can create a marketing plan and engage a chamber event, like with other businesses. Being honest.
I think with the way the market is right now, we're in the big resignation. People are looking for jobs. People are changing what they do. I think
but
that
the market's
there's opportunity.
You're looking for a job. I mean, I'm just being honest. I think it's a tall order.
What do you mean by a tall order?
To find someone that can do that. There's people that can post stuff on social media.
Everyone knows all the avenues of those different platforms. There's different platforms. So there's things that you do on the back end as a marketer when it comes to marketing. If we're doing something...
But what are we marketing?
Our services.
I'm just confused by this role. Huh? What are we trying to accomplish?
What revenue is that person bringing in? Because
that's a lot of money. I mean, yeah. That's a lot of money.
Revenue-wise, bringing in? No.
So you got a budget where we're at 50,000
or we charge for our programs. So if she's out marketing a specific program, she's marketing the library to bring people into that program that we or the Friends of the Library are paying for. So technically, all of the positions at the library are not revenue generators.
Right. Like, that's just not how this government
works.
What is the expense for that person if it's a part-time position instead of a full-time position?
It would be contributing to the RMRF and, you know, their taxes as well. But it's just, you would be paying that same amount for a part-time person anyway. It's just that we're capped with the amount of time that they can work, and because I want to increase that time for someone, we are having to pay into their IMRF.
So there's really no difference between making them 30 hours or we can make them 40.
But you're paying an MIRF, but you're not paying dental, you're not paying...
You're not paying health insurance, you're not paying dental, vision, life.
Right.
Technically, unless the city's changed it, 30 hours a week is considered full-time. By whatever government agency.
It is?
It is.
So our max hours is under 30.
Max hours is under 30. Because I know that was a few years ago, that was a big bone of contention over at City Hall because they were given insurance benefits to the city council members that technically weren't working for 30 hours a week.
I know there are employees that are just being paid their IMRF, yes, but I don't know what their max work week looks like. So, I mean, we can just remove this from the budget for now. I can find out more.
I can benchmark it on the libraries and see what they do with that type of person.
I'll ask the city how many hours they can work before we contribute to IMRF and not have to pay benefits.
Do you think it's
beneficial?
Right. I was just going to say, do you think it's beneficial to have Rob over here also for our next meeting? I think that might be helpful.
He can answer questions.
Mm-hmm. I believe he said that IMRF, this library's portion of IMRF, was 8%, something like that, and employees was somewhere around 3-4%.
So, in this calculation, the full-time person, this new full-time person, their IMRF contribution would be, for full-time, $4,125
for the year. The library would contribute.
Okay. And this might be a different topic altogether, but like, for example, the high school has a program, a field experience program, which we work with the students there. So we've had students come. They do an internship with us, and we've had one girl, she focused on social media for us. So that was a way for us to not have that on our plate, but at the same time it was a job experience for them. We paid them an hourly rate for their internship, but it's a really nice program the high school offers.
Okay. High school?
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Because it helps the student as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know colleges offer, you know, marketing degrees and graphic design and, you know, like the
media intern.
Right.
I just know my wife does these posts for different groups. And she spends, it's time, but she puts together different posts, and I'm not saying that it's not a skill, because it is. Like, when she first started doing it, it took a lot of time, and she's gotten better, and it takes less and less time. But, you know, you really have to know, you know, what, you have to be, they have to be relevant, current. There's a lot, I mean, there is a lot to it. But I don't know, I guess I'm just, you know, really interested in what that role is. I mean,
I'll share the job description that I've created.
Okay.
Everyone.
And the reason I asked if it was required is I thought I read somewhere that full-time was required in one of these checklists that you keep sending us. And it's like I flashed on my screen, and I'm like, where was that? So I was trying to find it, and I'm like, maybe I didn't see it. But so that was my concern, is that actually, if we're doing it, does it have to be full-time? Do we have to do it? What would that role be? It's very expensive.
I don't think that that was a requirement. I'm almost sure it was not a full-time position.
Now you're going to make me go find it.
There are libraries that don't have that. So.
Yeah.
So okay. I will talk to Rob, have him come to the next meeting, and would you like him to update this with what? This removed?
Yep.
The full-time position removed?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. So, what was that? So, next. We want to go into executive session. I make a motion that we go into executive session. For the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity. Okay, I got that memorized.
Second.
Roll call.
Okay. Millen?
Yes.
Reifster?
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Don't forget me, Daniel.
Director's review or evaluation, and as presented during executive session.
Second. Roll call.
Okay, Reifstack?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
Okay.
I understand
you. I know.
All right, now we are adjourned. Yeah.